Welcome to the March 2018 edition of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. We have three research papers and three engineering reports in this issue, covering a wide range of audio engineering topics, as well as a feature article on dialogue mixing for cinema. Opening the issue is a paper on speech enhancement by three authors from China. They explain that speech enhancement is intended to make speech more pleasant and understandable. Here, they concentrate on what is known as single-channel enhancement using spectral subtraction in a number of frequency bands across the speech range. A technique known as subband spectral entropy, based on the ERB scale, is used to estimate the noise in each band, as this can apparently lead to better results. The authors looked at spectrograms, objective and subjective measures to discover improved performance with their algorithm. Ramona Baumhart and her colleagues look into what measurement accuracy is required for the human head when modeling interaural time differences. It's important when attempting geometric modeling of heads, but it can be hard to get accurate projections from dimensions measured on people to one-dimensional measures. In this paper, the authors use a listening experiment to find out the direction-dependent, just noticeable time deviation from an individual ITD. They go on to measure some head dimensions of real subjects on 3D head models, mapped using a sensor and 3D surface reconstruction. These are compared with dimensions obtained from magnetic resonance imaging scans. Following on from last month's paper on object-based audio mixing, John Francombe and his colleagues look into mix parameters for modifying the sensation of envelopment. In object-based audio mixing, the way in which a scene's sound objects are rendered can be altered, and the authors wanted to find out the relationship between such modifications and the perceptual results. In order to do this, they got sound engineers to create mixes with three levels of envelopment, while preserving the overall mix level, enabling the authors to analyze various corresponding mix parameters. A subsequent validation experiment proved that those parameters could then be used to adjust envelopment to a target level. In the first of three engineering reports, Florian Denk and his co-authors explain how reflections in semi-anechoic impulse responses can be removed. They point out that basic truncation of impulse responses can distort the low-frequency response, but if the truncation is done in a frequency-dependent manner, adapting the truncation length to the frequency concerned, the low frequencies can be retained while annoying reflections are windowed out. They found that a novel short-time Fourier transform gave rise to the least artifacts, while preserving the anechoic impulse response of the sound source. Haoran Zhao and his colleagues tell us that although one can use shotgun microphones for a highly directional pickup, their low and middle frequency directives are often not controlled enough for practical purposes. An alternative is to use linear microphone arrays with unequal spacing, which enables one to get high directivity across a wide band using a small number of microphones. In their report, they show a general procedure for designing such arrays, which works from 20 Hz up to 16 kHz, tackling the challenges encountered in the optimization process. Their approach enables the design of arrays that have higher directivity than shotguns of comparable length and that have similar self-noise. Our final engineering report this month is a short one by Václav Vankovský and two co-authors, dealing with the threshold at which tones can be perceived in a specific brand of headphones often used in listening experiments. Although such thresholds have been established for certain measurement headphones, a number of typical commercial devices haven't been tested in this way, say the authors. Comparing the results with other brands and models uncovered significant differences between circum and supraoral headphones at low frequencies. Standards News this month reports on the progress of a number of working groups, including those dealing with digital audio measurements, interfaces, and file exchange. There's also a call for comment on the revised version of AES 67, dealing with interoperability of audio over IP streaming. In case you didn't get to the NAMM show, held earlier this year in Anaheim, California, the AES had a big presence, running a training symposium on numerous aspects of pro audio, including live sound and mixing. You can read all about it in this March issue if you need to catch up. We also offer a preview of the 144th convention, which is not far off now, being held in Milan in late May. It's time to book your travel now if you want to join this important European audio learning and networking event. Francis Rumsey's feature this month looks into the fascinating topic of dialogue mixing and editing for film and TV, based on workshops that were held at the recent U.S. convention. As part of the Audio for Cinema track, chaired by Nuno Fonseca, panelists explained how to get the best out of actors' voices on the set and off of it, revealing numerous tricks of the trade. We also get to hear something about the future development of cinema sound. There's a call for contributions to next year's conference on immersive and interactive audio, on immersive and interactive audio, to be held in York. So if you're working in that area, you can begin to get your thinking cap on and propose a paper before too long. Alongside that, you'll also find a couple of reviews of recent audiobooks, together with our regular reviews of section activities and new products. Find all this in the March issue of the AES Journal, available for download today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.